Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith, the host of Talking Real to You Preview Show.
We gon' start this thing off right. Duval in the Manila organ house. Come on, now come on.
I'm living my best life. Ain't going back to fuck with you now. I'm living my best life.
To be smiling for. So what the f*** you be wildin' for? Come on, I get my grin on. I'm smiling, bitch, cause I always get my win on. I've been on so many different stages. Graced the cover of 100 magazine pages. Made people smile everywhere that I went. I even put it on the first black president. It's evident I'm hot as a crock pot. With a big ass smile like Mr. Hotspot. You got a lot to be smiling for. So what the f*** you be wildin' for? If you're breathing, you achieving. We having fun this evening, believe it.
I'm living my best life. Ain't going back to fuck with you now. I'm living my best life.
Your middle fingers up in the air and show a hater you don't even much care. We finna get another bag this year. My ex, you can have that there. Hey, this year, bad vibes get cut off. More trips, new chicks with no draw. More drinks, more smoking, more cars. More shows with Duval and Snoop Dogg. Look, I ain't tryna throw no shade, cause I can't see them in my lane. As long as my rent getting paid, I can care less when a few things, huh? You in the club every night with no job. Eating good off your food stamp card. You made a killing last year off fraud. If you know you ain't going to work tomorrow,
I'm living my best life. Ain't going back to fuck with you now. I'm living my best life.
Good afternoon, good evening, my good people. How are y'all today? This is Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith, the host of Talking Sports Plus. We're living our best life on this end, and hope you're doing the same on Wonderful Wednesday, Hump Day we call it. You know, we're just so excited about coming and bringing this show to you through this network, which is Blog Talk Radio. Now, if you want to be a part of this show, you can call in at 347-857-4192. You have the opportunity not only just to listen to the show, but also have an opportunity to share your thoughts, share your expertise. And that would be by you pressing 1, then I'll identify you with the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number, and then I'll ask you to come on and let us know exactly who you are and where you're calling from. So that's a way you can connect with us. You can also go to our web link, which is www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Way Production. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Way Production. Wow. And there's several other ways you can contact us. You can go to our Twitter account and you can just try to tweet us on. And I got several things I want to make sure I share in regards to that Twitter. That's meaning making sure you can contact us and contact our co-host as well. You can contact the show at Talking Sports. I'm sorry, at Talking Sports Plus, the number 1, at Lorenzo D. Smith, at Elliot Darrell, the number 1, at Tremaine Edwards, the number 7, and at Coach with a K underscore L underscore Smith. Then if you want to email the show, you can go to talkingsportsplus@gmail.com. So you got several ways to contact us. We got an outstanding show planned for tonight. Let's keep in mind, we are the voice of the historical black colleges and universities, high school and middle school athletics in the southeastern part of the United States. Now it's time to make this thing do what it do, and I'm so excited to have an opportunity to have these young people joining me and being a more or less our co-host. Some experts are going to share some outstanding thoughts about the topics we'll be talking about. We'll start off with that young man that hails from North Alabama, up there in Marinaville. I'm so proud to have him as a part of the show. He's been with us since we started this back in 2017. He coaches up in the public school system, and he's a true champion. And I can count off the championship. He has more championship than one hand, so he had to use another one. So that's 6, and not counting the ones that he had with his football and had with his boys as well. So his girls is outstanding. His boys is outstanding. And we just applaud Chapman High School being coached by the young man that has that slogan. Ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. The King, Coach Tremaine Edwards. How you doing, Trey?
How y'all doing tonight? Glad to be here, Dr. Smith.
Okay.
Glad to be here.
Glad to have you, brother. Glad to have you. And I said, I'm looking at the number. I said, whoa, I hope I ain't lost. And, you know, last week we had some tricky things going on. Well, we're going to make it do better this week, so we're just going to make it happen like it should. Next individual who serves as our co-host. And, you know, he just brings so much expertise to it. And he hails from South Alabama. You can say he move around down in that Gulf Coast of Florida, down that Fort Walton, Destin, all that area, and he come up there through Op, from Op up to Montgomery, from Montgomery over to Troy, and then Troy back down to Dothan. He's the conductor. That's the way the train make it move. Conductor of the train, the E-train, Don King of all things, our radio personality, none other than Darryl E-Train Elliott. How you doing, Darryl?
Hey, Coach. How you doing tonight? Hey, Dr. Smith. How you doing tonight? And guess what, man? You said I bring expertise. Man, come on. That's such a great accolade. I appreciate that. No, the expertise is up there in Huntsville, and I love it on
the
phone media. Good evening, everybody.
The king. We gotta give the praise. Give those claps. Hand claps.
Hey.
Everybody do it. It'll be fine. Hey, there you go. Hey, take it while they give it to you, baby. That's what I'm talking about. The king. And we have two other co-hosts that join us. And I know one will be joining us because he has revival tonight. So he'll be joining us right in time enough to give us some high school expertise. Our residential high school expert. Touchdown Tony. That's Coach Tony Starworth. And I'm going to give him a raving interview. I mean, introduction when he come on. So let me do it. But I'm just kind of let you know he's coming. He won't be here at about 8:30 or so. And they're already hard on him. I know you're giving him a hard time, Darryl. That's what you had to do. So Coach Tony Starworth, don't forget about us and just don't want to be here on Wednesday night. I know he loves being here. So I know you give him a hard time, but that's what it is. We all going to give him a hard time. We appreciate having him. Last but not least, our lady of the hour. She said she had a game tonight. She's working with AAU, and she have a game tonight. So she's going to be coaching and won't be able to be here. A game was at 7:30, so she's going to be just rolling through with her game. None other than our female, our lady of the hour, our millennium, Coach Lauren D. Smith. Hey, guys, let's make this thing happen. It's time to talk some sports. Show title is 2019 NFL Draft. It's now or never. So if you don't make a selection on tomorrow, it's almost now or never. So we're going to talk about that tonight, but we're going to start off with talking about our historical black colleges and universities spotlight. And one of the things, since we're talking about the draft, we want to talk about some prospects that's in the historical black colleges and university. And we're going to go from that point, and I'm going to kind of run off a list, and brothers, we can kind of share your thoughts based on what you heard, and if you don't hear the name of a person that you know that is going to try as a free agent or either possibly going to be drafted, please share it with us so we can talk about that individual as well. First of all, we're going to start off with possibly going to be the first name from the historical college and Black University to come off the board tomorrow night, projected by most of your scouts and your draft experts. That's Titus Howard, offensive lineman from Alabama State University. Stands 6'5", 322 pounds. Could be, as they said, the first player in this draft from a historical Black college and university. That's going to be awesome. And we're going to applaud the young man if his name is called. Some people project the third round, as early as the third round. That sounds real good. So we're going to wait and see how it's going to happen tomorrow. And the draft is taking place in Nashville. And we have Josh Miles, offensive lineman out of Morgan State, 6'6", 310. Good size and power. And defensive lineman for North Carolina A&T. We saw him play on television. We saw him play here in Crampton Bowls from North Carolina A&T. He's a defensive lineman, 6'5", 232. A MEAC player of the year, the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference Defensive Player of the Year. Sterling Shippey, defensive lineman from Alcorn, 6'1", 300 pounds. Great run stopper and pass rusher. Amir Hall, quarterback from Bowie State. 6'4", 195, big-time quarterback. You have co-hosts, y'all have heard some of these players. If you got any thoughts, it's good. You can jump in right now and share your thoughts about any of those players you heard some talk about, and you can share your expertise on those players so far, because we got several others, and it's good to have these names being called out from the historical Black colleges and university. Coach Trey, you got any thoughts you want to share on any of those players or any other players you have heard that might possibly go as a free agent?
No, sir. The only one that I've been looking at for real has been the one that you just talked about, the lineman from Alabama State. Real big time, man. Supposed to be, like you said, potential first through third round pick. This is real big time for Alabama State. That's the one I've been following.
Awesome. You know, I tell you, it's always good to have these young men to have the same opportunity, because you know what we say, and you hear that, if you go to a historical Black college and university, you don't have a chance to be drafted, but these players that I'm calling out possibly have a chance to be drafted. Not as free agents, they're going to come as draft choices, 1 through 6 round from Thursday through Saturday. So it's a good chance you'll hear those names. I just ran off a couple of them. Darryl, you have any thoughts in regards to any of those individuals you heard about?
I actually have none. In fact, three of the names you called out, I hadn't even heard of. I hadn't been following it, and I apologize for that, Coach. But I am monitoring as of this moment. Thank you.
Awesome. And that's what it's all about. The experts can take time. That's why we have our research pads. We have our research crew. Look up some things to kind of help and keep us on top of it. But these are some things I pulled out. I want to bring these people out because these individuals are going to be drafted. And this is what the projection is. And these individuals will get drafted way before some of the players on some of the major or the Power Five universities. As I mentioned, James Homey, if I didn't call him a Homan. James Homan, he's from Ohio, from Howard University, offensive lineman, 6'6", 350. Terrific run and pass blocker. Any NFL team would love to have that. Devontae Reynolds, defensive back, North Carolina A&T, 5'10", 200 pounds, had the real nose for the football. He's a headhunter. He'd go get that football. De'Arius Christmas, linebacker from Gremlin. We ain't heard talk of him all year, been around the ball all the time, probably at 100 tackles, solo tackles, all around, a part of tackles. He's always on the field. He's a magnificent defensive player. You have Ricky Holmes, a defensive lineman from Benedict, 6'5", 380, a huge star in the SIAC. That's the Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Conference. Last but not least, Karan Ramsey. We have talked about him. I have talked and raved about him all year. His mom is always checking the show out, and she's posting things and then Karan is a good chance, if he don't get drafted in the seventh round, he will be one of the first free agents that get a call. That's Karan Ramsey. He's a strong safety from Alabama State University, 6'3", 214 pounds, a versatile combo safety with great speed and a sound tackler. And that's what you got to have in the NFL, got to have in high school, got to have in college. Those players that can make the tackle, but he's possibly a round seven selection. And I was kind of keeping up with him and went through an awesome training program down in Florida. He went down and worked out with several prospects at one of the training facilities. So he looked and gained some weight, a lot of muscle. He looks good, has that 4.4 speed. He's 4.49. So he has an opportunity, and we want him. And it's good to have each and every one of those young men's name called out because it's important. It's important that we hear that these players are doing this. So those are the names, and if there's any other names, you can call in. The call-in number is 347-857-4192, and just press 1. I identify you with the last four digits of your cell or telephone number, then I ask you to join the conversation and let us know who you are and where you're calling from. All right, we're going to kind of move our agenda format. We had the Spring Sports Championship. And there are several being posted as we talk. I know Alabama State men and women tennis team won the 2019 SWAC championship. And that was, for, if I'm not mistaken, for the young ladies, it was like back to back to back. So that's awesome in spring sport. Then again, you had the Alabama State University indoor track win a championship, another SWAC championship. That makes 43. We got to give a shout out to this young man because he came on our show, Coach Richard Bean. He came on the show to coach for Alabama State University, cross country and track and field. He has himself over 35 championships in his hand, about 43, 44 SWAC championship, cross country, indoor and outdoor track and field. So we applaud him for winning, his girls and his guys winning another one. We just applaud them because they're doing some outstanding things on that. All right, let's quickly kind of move. There are some other that we're hearing slowly about. We'll talk more about it next week when we talk more about the spring sports. Transfer players. In the, we're going to talk about some players in the SWAC that is transferring through the NCAA transfer portal. Some people might ask, what is the portal? It's where a player can put his name in for every coach in the country to see who's transferring and possibility could be added to their rosters. A lot of your larger schools are using it, but some of the historical black colleges and universities are using it as well. And it's just a couple players, especially men players who are transferring. We have the player, the 6'4 guard out of Alcorn, strong shooting guard, Tremaine Crosby. He put his name in the portal, transfer portal. And then Reginald G, he's a shooting guard from Alabama State University. He also put his name in the transfer portal. Coach Edwards, you got any other individuals we can add to that as historical black colleges and universities or any college that you might know of that might be transferred?
No, sir, but got a big-time recruiting class up here on the hill, Dr. Smith. One of the best classes okay. we've had in a long time. We don't have any transfers, no one leaving, but we do have some big-time freshmen coming in. So that's all I got for you.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome, man. I tell you, that's good to hear because signing day was last week. For basketball, because some major players they were sitting around waiting on to sign to go some Power Five schools. Something a lot to do with the situation in LSU. At LSU with Coach Wade and he being reinstated, and some of those players that he even out of state of Alabama, the top player in the state of Alabama has a possibility of talking about going to LSU, and he was waiting to see what was going to happen with Coach Wade. So right now they are. Asked their athletic director to retire, and he did. And be working with the university, and they just brought in Scott Whitmore out of Texas A&M, and he will be the new athletic director who started this week. So he's rolling with that. So we'll kind of see what the result's going to be. Now, there are some other players I want to give a shout out to that decided to transfer. We can't take it away. And it's mostly young ladies. And they're coming from historical black colleges and universities. All except one player I want to call out that has already made a commitment to a Power 5 school, from a Power 5 school. That's Brianna Jackson, the daughter of Coach Lewis and Frieda Jackson at Alabama State University, the men and women basketball coach. She's transferring from the University of South Carolina. They go to Florida State. She's transferring to Florida State. So Brianna Jackson is leaving South Carolina and going to Florida State. Aubrey Barner from Alabama A&M. She's a shooting guard, 5'8". She's leaving, going to Johnson C. Smith. She's up from that area, and she's going back. Well, she's from Augusta, Georgia, and Johnson C. Smith is up there in North Carolina, and she can – that's a skip and a hop for her. Kyler and these young ladies, now women. Kyler Watts, power guard from Alcorn. She's 5'5". She hadn't made a decision. We have Natanja Creepin from Hampton, shooting guard. Megan Flower from Jackson State. Her name is in the transfer portal. She's 5'11". She's a forward. Kaylin Ellis, shooting guard, 5'5". Jaden Morris, shooting guard, 5'8". Dallas Pettis, forward from Morgan State. That's three players leaving Morgan State trying to find a new home. Then we have Morgan Baptiste, from a point guard from North Carolina A&T. Young ladies looking for a home. And Zion Lopez, forward, 5'11", from North Carolina A&T. We want to give you the information about these historical black colleges and universities, see what they're doing, because that's what we're all about. We want to make sure we can share those thoughts in regards to that. All right, team, let's get to the coach's corner. Let's talk about Kyler Murray and whether or not it's a mistake for the Arizona Cardinals to pick him number one. Tell me your thoughts on that, my team.
I dive in with this one.
Okay.
Shoot, word on the street is the Cardinals are going with Quinn and Williams as the number one pick. But we're gonna see how this map out, because I done seen it come out like this, Dr. Smith, and end up going the other way. But they're saying Kyler Murray, they don't need a quarterback at the Cardinals. They need one of the most impactful defensive linemen they've seen. So they was thinking about going with Quinn and Williams. So it's gonna be a sight to see, man, to see if a D lineman go in his number one spot other than a quarterback. So that's what I heard, Dr. Smith. They're looking at Quinn and Williams now instead of Kyler Murray.
Awesome. Real quickly, I was gonna say
Kyler Murray. It is being talked about on the back burner, and Williams is being talked about in the front. That is the word on the street. But the reality is if they choose Kyler Murray, will he have the dynamicism for a team like Arizona? Is that what they truly need? So that's really where I'm looking. The point I'm looking at is what they need. A caliber. Is that what they really need? So, but back to you, Doctor. Back to you.
And Darryl, at this point, I want to say some things, and I'm going to try to be a little in-depth with this. So we're going to take a little time to kind of explain this, and I'll give you my point and my expertise. It's fine to have a player that could be dynamic. They traded up for a player that they thought would fit right in with what they was doing. They had the offense set up for it, but they just didn't have the linemen to be able to do the blocking for it. And they brought in Josh Rosen, and he ran for his life all year. He was running for his life. That line could not block anybody. It wasn't trying to block anybody. So the bottom line is, if you bring Kyler Murray in, just because you draft a player, and I want everybody to keep this in mind, just because you draft a player, you still have to have linemen that fits what that players do. You cannot have a drop-back passer and have linemen who block for RPOs or stretch plays, fluence block, they call them. You can't have those linemen because those guys are going to be stepping to the side and the guy's going to be running for his life. Now, the Arizona Cardinals is a dysfunctional organization. And I'm just going to be like that because to make this decision is just like first of all, hiring the coach they hire. Everybody said he's going to do a wonderful job. I just think the training ground is if you got it in college and you can't take these programs that you're at and do some great things, you can't win above 500 games, and you coaching the whole team, meaning you are the head coach, you're not going to do well in the NFL as the head coach. I don't care what people say. You just not. Everybody said because he said he liked Kyler Murray about if he was had a chance to draft him, he's going to draft him. Really, is that's what you need. Is your offensive lineman capable of blocking for Kyler Murray? Or Kyler Murray is going to be running for the rest, you know, all season for his life because he's going to be immature regardless. It's going to take some time to develop this. So really, is this the best choice? I always want to go back to that game and that semifinal game. Kyler Murray was running for his life against Alabama the first half. And everybody always jumped at, well, what about the second half? The second half, when you're up 28-0, and I want Coach Elbert to kind of speak to that. Tell me what kind of attitude since you've been coaching, when you're up by a big score and it's going into halftime, what kind of attitude do the players have, or what kind of attitude you may have had when you was a player when you was up 28-0 and scoring was easy? Tell me what you think about that, Trey.
Dr. Smith, you should know it best because you coached me for a number of years. We're going to lax up if we're up 28-0. If you're down 28-0, you're going to press. So for people to say that, you know, he got off the second half, Alabama laxed up then. They were in the driver's seat. Nick Saban was looking forward to the championship game and saving players for that game, you know, trying not to get nobody hurt, and he got somebody hurt anyway. So he lost. We lost with 47 got hurt, didn't it, Dr. Smith?
Yeah.
Christian Miller got hurt,
yep.
You know, in that second half. So, you know, you try to ease up and try to save your kids for the championship game. So we're going to use that excuse that we laxed up and they start rolling this.
Yeah. And the thing about it, as a coach, when we get a big lead, we start looking at, okay, we're just going to make it through it. A lot of coaches don't like to put the pedal to the metal. Now, at times I would like to put the pedal to the metal, and sometimes I didn't. And but it works that way. But in a game like that, when you know you got the next game and they're not going to score enough points to beat you anyway, because you can measure if you score 28 points at halftime, they score nothing. You're going to score at least two more times, and they got to score five times or six times just to beat you. I'm not saying it won't happen, but basketball is different from football. You only have so many possessions. And those possessions, you can count off in the second half how many you're going to allow that other team to have. So I don't want to go with what he did the second half against Alabama. I don't want to go with what happened against the Big 12 defense because they ain't play no defense. And the bottom, he struggled against Army, and that might have been a situation they took them lightly. And he struggled against several teams. So is he the player that's going to put the Arizona Cardinals where they need to be? Drafting that one player is not going to make the impact. It's not going to work. He's definitely not close to any other quarterback. He's talking about Baker Mayfield or even the quarterback at the Seattle Seahawks. He's more Russell Wilson. He's more in line. I don't see that. I just see him running for his life and his chest getting crushed more times than often. Everybody said, well, he outran everybody. He's fast, but you know them guys, 6'6", 240 pounds. Run 4.3s and can run you down. So the point is, I don't see it. I think it's a mistake, and I think the Cardinals need to look at developing the quarterback they have. They got a new coach. They didn't give that coach long 1 year, and we'll kind of see how it's going to turn out. Meaning the coach that they allowed to go coach with, they let him go after 1 year. After 1 year. And they brought this guy in with no experience as head coach and thinking he's going to turn it on because he coached two awesome players, Mahomes, but he didn't do anything with them. They didn't win anything in the Big 12. So is he really a winner? That's what I question. All right, let's move to our next topic, which is about the narratives written in 2018 by the NFL talking heads and pundits about quarterbacks. The quarterbacks in 2018 was there wasn't the best. They're not the best selection. We're going to choose other quarterbacks that stand in the pocket, and that was a narrative. So a quarterback like Lamar Jackson, who's an athletic quarterback, was told he could be a receiver. So now the narrative this year is just the opposite. Who's writing the narrative? Who's talking the narrative? Is it the media? Is it the NFL? Or who's writing the narrative? One year, and always for years, black quarterbacks has always been told they couldn't quarterback. Even it came out with Deshaun Watson in Houston. It was a statement made by one of the educators saying that, you know, he wasn't smart enough to be quarterback. Now, all of a sudden, this year, the player that you wouldn't take last year as number one, you're going to take this year. That narrative was written. Tell me your thoughts on that. Tell me exactly what is being done. Is the media that much in control of the narratives dealing with the draft and dealing with players today? Let me hear what you have to say, team.
I'll dive in right quick. I believe in that narrative, Dr. Smith. I'm a firm believer in doing what the league is working with. So if I see over the last 10 years that teams have won with a pocket passing quarterback, I'm trying to draft me a pocket passing quarterback to compete in the same field as them. I have seen the dual threat quarterback. The dual threat has never, well, in my eyes, have never, since I've been watching the NFL, the dual threat has never won a championship to me. Never. It's always a Peyton Manning, a John Elway, a Tom Brady. I've seen Cam go deep, but he lost in the big game. So by a pocket passer. The only other exception I would see is the quarterback at the Seahawks, Russell. He's the only
Russell
one. Russell Wilson. He's the only, but I don't know if is he a dual threat or game manager. It's one of the two. So I'm going with the pocket passer. So I'm believing in the media. I think you need a pocket passer to compete and win the NBA, NFL championship.
Well, let's go somewhere with that. Let's go back first. Okay. Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson is more of a game manager than he is a dual threat, and that helped him. But let's go back to the Alabama game where we had the dual threat quarterback, Jalen Hurts, end up coming out of the game and a pocket passer winning the game. That's all I have to say.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I'm glad you brought it up, Darrell. We could even go back to this year, this past year. The dual threat quarterback got hurt. The pocket passer quarterback got hurt, Tua, and Jalen Hurts came in and won the game. So, he had to be able to run. Let's keep it real. He had to be able to run to make those last two plays, those plays that was that allowed them to win the ball game. And Coach Trey, you can talk about that a little bit. His ability to move around. He scored a touchdown by using his feet. He threw a touchdown pass by being able to use his feet. So it went from one scenario in 2018 to another scenario in 2019. Tell me your thoughts on that. Well,
I'm here, Dr. Smith.
Yeah.
Probably totally, but I think that was aspects of the defense. The defenses have prepared for a certain quarterback, and when you switch it on them like that, their game plan went to trash. Either switch, but like I watched the game. Jalen Hurts won the game with his feet, but he did also make some great passes too. You know, get control of that game. So, the last few plays, I think he used his feet exceptionally well. They didn't account for his feet, but it was like you said, it was vice versa in the last 2 years. I think Georgia prepared for Jalen Hurts to run more, and when Tua came in for Jalen Hurts, he passed more. Now, not to say Tua made some mistakes. He made some mistakes when he got in that game. He threw a couple balls away, but he scratched the field. He made them under the field. So with doing that, it paid off at the end. But same way with Jalen Hurts, where he came and relieved Tua. They didn't account for his legs, so he was able to run the ball and hit those seams that Tua couldn't hit with the hurt ankle. So that's all I got to say about that.
Exactly. And you know, you add some good expertise to that, because that you had to paint the picture like it should be painted. But the narrative was in 2018, the draft, it was the athletic quarterback was not the best selection. So they chose not to select that person into the last, being the last quarterback. But then you come back this year, the same type of quarterback. Now everybody can say, well, he throws the ball better than the one he throws. Well, we all can throw the ball against the Big 12 defense. It's easy to throw against the Big 12 defense. So the point is, we really want to see. And another thing I want us to kind of share, that's a thought on, and we're going to go to our other topics. Why was it so important when they was doing measurables, or when they was talking a lot, the media was talking about, if he's 5'9", he's not going to be a good choice. If general manager is going to be looked at, why you draft the 5'9"? But when he stretched the band with a pair of shoes, extra high shoes on, he stretched the band to be 5'10", he's good enough to play now. Tell me your thoughts on that. What exactly was going on? If you can remember when they was going through the pro day, getting ready for the pro day and the combine, if he's 5'9", he's not going to be a good quarterback. Talking about Kyler Murray now, but he measured out at 5'10". How much different that is? 5'9", 3'7", 8", and 5'10", and 1/4"? How much different is that? It went from the change, the scenario changed. Tell me your thoughts about it. Why they flipped so quick, the media, and everybody else saying now he's going to be right, the right person to be drafted number one. Tell me your thoughts on that.
I just say this and I jump right in. I have no clue. Please help me, Trey.
There you go. Help us, Trey. Yep. Trey, you still there? I don't know, we didn't lose Trey. I see him still on the line. But there, as Daryl said, you know, I have no clue, and I have no clue neither, why that quarter of an inch made that much difference to say he's going to be better acceptable as 5'10 than at 5'9". I don't understand that. We're going to do some more research and see, because if 5'9 is the knockoff for a quarterback that can't make it, no matter how good his quick he is or how good he can throw the ball, but just another half an inch or 1/4 of an inch puts you at 5'10", then you're okay. I don't understand. Yes.
How tall was Johnny Manziel?
Manziel was 6 feet.
Was he actually? Okay. He seemed short.
Yeah.
He seemed short. Wasn't he one of the shortest quarterbacks?
He falls in that category. Baker Mayfield, all of them right at about 6 feet. But, you know, Doug Flutie was, you know, if you go back in history,
Flutie
was the shortest quarterback.
That's who I'm thinking about. Doug Flutie. Yes.
Yep.
And I'm like, okay, how did he get a pass in this man 5'9 and 3/4" can't?
Well, let's talk a little bit about Flutie. He didn't really get a pass because he ended up, after he left Boston, he had to go, you know, because he wasn't drafted like he supposed to be. He went over to the Canadian football and became a success and came back to the NFL. So they did use that measuring, tape measure to determine whether he could be a good quarterback in the NFL. So that was one of the reasons why the question was, when they first started talking, 5'9". If he's 5'9", he can't be drafted number one, but he got another quarter inch by standing up on a little, we don't know what he stood up on, to make him 5'10 and 1/8", and everybody was excited. Because Russell Wilson is 5'10 and 7'8". So, and in my mind, I was like, okay, hold up. how much of that difference going to make? Should it make that much difference, which I don't personally believe it will, should, but if he's a quarterback, if we're going to write this narrative for 2019, don't change it. Let it stay where the next year, if there's a dual threat quarterback coming out, you get the same opportunity and not allowing to be the narrative being written like it was and have been. Okay? All right, let's look at Dwayne Haskins, why his stock is dropping and why Drew Locke's stock is raising. Talk, and then we'll get to the high school talk. All right. Why is Dwayne Haskins' stock dropping and Drew Locke's stock is rising?
I jump in right there, Dr. Smith. I'm back. I can't honestly say that Dwayne Haskins' stock is dropping because he's very high on the Redskins' target list. If the Redskins get up to him, if he's not gone before – the Redskins can get to him. They trying to get him, Dr. Smith. And mm-hmm. I really don't know okay. enough about him to, you know what I'm saying, say what we're going to do. But I go with whatever right now with my Redskins, Dr. Smith. We just okay. need something to come in there and get us established and get something wrong. But we look like Baby Bama out here, though. We got probably the most Alabama players I've ever seen on a roster. I think we're about 13 yes. or 14.
Yes, y'all do. Can do. It is. Nick Saban camp up there, I guess, going on. So that's one of the things. And I'll kind of address the stock situation. I think because why they want to see it as dropping because we know all the defensive players are going to be drafted. If Kyler Murray goes first, rest of them going to be defense. But the next defensive players, nobody else needs a quarterback 2, 3, 4, and 5. They say they don't need a quarterback. They might need one, but they don't want to draft one. But 6 is the New York Giants. New York Giants say they're not drafting. And teams after them not in need of a quarterback until you get to the Miami Dolphins. So in the process, because before the Redskins was not saying they was looking at a quarterback, they figured they was going to get the Josh Rosen sweepstakes. So they thought they'll get him. But now they begin to say, okay, now, let's check this guy out. If the Giants don't take him, we're going to take him. If he left, we're going to take him. And those teams that's behind the Giants are not looking for a quarterback except the Miami Dolphins. That's how far they got to drop. So the point is he's dropping because he's projected as being, to some people, as the number one quarterback in the draft before all of a sudden we come up with the super hype about Kyler Murray. He was. And he's got the prototypical body, he's got the arm, and he has all that. But then the criticism, some people, the talking heads are saying, not myself, is that he's so confident when he throw the ball, he's going to make a lot of errors. Well, everybody else do as well. And the errors are not because they throw the ball, it's because those defensive backs can learn you and get familiar with you. Baker Mayfield is going to make a lot of mistakes as well this year because everybody knows about it. And any player in the second year of his contract, a second-year player, and he's quarterback, he's going to make some mistakes. It takes about 3 or 4 years for it to start clicking like it's supposed to be clicking. So we're going to see that. But he has confidence in his arm, so his stock is dropping from where they thought he should be. They thought he should be at least 6 with the Giants, but the Giants, they're not taking a quarterback. So that's another thing that's causing his stock to drop. Drew Locke's stock is rising. And the reason it's rising is because some people think that he may end up at the Miami Dolphins. So that puts him up 13. If they don't pick him at 13, he may drop all the way down to 17, back to the Giants, or drop out of the top teams and go to the 20s. So that's out of draft. It's funny. That's what we're talking about. The 2019 NFL draft is now or never. And these teams got to make the right decision. Cardinals got to make the right decision. The Giants got to make the right decision so we can kind of see how things are going in the future. All right, let's look at a little basketball here. Trey, we're going to talk about them Lakers. Who should the Lakers hire as head coach? Who should they hire?
I'm going to go with Tyronn Lue.
LeBron. Okay. He said he's going with Tyronn Lue and That's because we're giving LeBron what he wants and what he needs. They're at the point because the Lakers are becoming laughing stock. They're so dysfunctional. And I don't care what anybody says. They are dysfunctional. Their president, owner, is not in charge. You continue to allow things to go on, people who don't have the experience. You got Kurt Rambis' wife running certain things. She's a right hand for Jeannie Buss. This thing is dysfunctional. Nobody wants to go to the Lakers, guys. Nobody, because it's dysfunctional. And it could to do with what all happened this year. And the bottom line is, I think the owners made their mind up that they all put it out that nobody should go to the Lakers. Now, I don't know if that's right or should it be occurring, but it is happening. The owners, a lot of the owners of other teams are doing that.
Dr. Smith?
Yes.
I just would like to say, I like Jason Kidd. And if they don't hire Jason Kidd, I want them to hire the King.
Okay.
And the King. if they'll hire Tremaine, I think they'll be fine. But Jason Kidd or Tremaine, either one of them, is the way to go. But back to you, Dr. Smith.
Exactly. And, you know, and I didn't bring up the name, but you, Trey brought up Lou, and now we talk about Kidd, and then you got Monty Williams. Now, let's be realistic. At this point, a year has been wasted. You're going to have to accommodate the next 3 years if you want to win a championship. And forget about the future. I'm telling y'all, you can't keep players and get players in there to develop at this point. Some of those players are not able to develop if they are ready to play with LeBron. It is what it is now. This year was a throwaway year. He took some stuff, but he's not going to take that stuff next year. And whoever's hired at that coaching job got to know how to deal with LeBron, because LeBron knows just as much about basketball as they do. And he can control the narrative like he want to. So one of the concerns I have is we need to give him what LeBron wants, not so much as worry about the future. I don't know whether Jason Kidd, you know, going to be able to come in and deal with LeBron. I don't know whether Monty Williams is going to be able to come in and deal with LeBron. I don't know whether Tyronn Lue is going to be able to deal with him, because last year he had to send him home. He went home. LeBron sent him home for a couple weeks. So I don't really know who will, but the most familiar, the key thing to win now. The Lakers is all about winning now. It ain't no future. Get that? All them young guys, they can get them out of there. They got to get some people that are going to be around LeBron, going to win now. And they're going to get a coach that going to work with LeBron, know LeBron. They ain't got time to play around now. They don't. If not, 3 years be gone quickly, and they'll never won't be able to win a championship, may not be in the playoffs. So let's keep that in mind when we talk about coach. So, yes, that's why everybody's saying Lou. Some people saying Jason Kidd, but I don't think Jason Kidd would work with LeBron. And Jason Kidd would be for the future. And then I don't think that's what the Lakers is concerned right now in the next 3 years. They got to win now. And they can't wait any longer, especially if this happened, the two individuals going over to the Clippers, Kevin Durant and Kawhi Leonard. If they go over to the Clippers, the Lakers got to get players in there. They got to get some players in there. And those young boys ain't going to be able to do it. They just not. The mindset ain't ready. The game ain't ready for it yet. So we're going to keep an eye on that. We're going to talk about it. Call that number is 347-857-419. You know, let us hear what you have to say about the topics we were talking about. We covered a lot of topics tonight, and we're talking about LeBron and his style of play. Will anybody be able to play with LeBron? And that's the next question we want to talk about, and that's in regards to it appear that nobody wants to come play with LeBron. What's your thoughts on that? Tell me, team, what you think about that? Why these players, the mega players, don't want to come and play with LeBron?
Dr. Smith, I think it will be a change this year. I think LeBron will get a mega player this year. As I said on another show, it wasn't set up for them to be there this year. I think they will be coming. LeBron has had no problem getting a mega player on his team. So I think it's coming this year, Dr. Smith.
And I think one of the other things is they only put those four or five players up there as being the mega player that might not want to come with LeBron because they already won championship. Kawhi already won a championship. Durant's going to win three. Kyrie Irving and won a championship. So, and you talk about those mega players, those three or four mega players there. Now, you got to start looking at that second tier. We talked about that a couple shows ago about mega, those second tier players that are considered to be mega players that fit right in with LeBron. So the question is, he can't be successful unless he get those three or four they say at the top. I don't believe that. I still think a Kemba Walker would be excellent. Eventually Anthony Davis would be great. Davis will be great if he can get there. Or eventually the guy at Memphis, Michael Conley, he would be good to get there because he's a defensive player. He's a shooter. You got to get some players in there that going to play. But because those players up there won a championship, they don't want to be in that kind of atmosphere. They want to create their own atmosphere. So we got to start looking at different. And you got to have a coach up there can see that and go out to some of those players. Some of those players won't be there this year. This little baby is not going to be there. They can go on to the house, go somewhere. But they're not going to be there. There's going to be some players that LeBron going to be able to say, we're going to do this. We're going to fight. We're going to fight and not sit there and cry like little babies. And that's kind of what went on. And it was tough on them. I understand, but that's the way life feels in regards to that. So we're going to make sure we keep an eye on that. And one other thing dealing with the NBA, and I want us to kind of take a second, and we can relate it to any form of coaching of special basketball because it's dealing with the Lakers. I'm talking about basketball or the NBA. Why is the player rotation on an NBA team so important? Why is the player rotation on an NBA team so important? And I'll give you an example before we start talking about it. For example, a second team come in. You should never get caught with five bench players on the floor at the same time. You got to be able to rotate those players right, get the right timing, and know exactly how them on there where you have at least two star players with those bench players. But I ain't seen the Lakers have five bench players on them, and that's when they lose leads. It happened in the second quarter and in the third, somewhere in the third quarter. And then you got to fight so hard to get back in the game in the fourth quarter. So why is that player rotation so important, whether you are coaching in middle school, high school, rec league, AAU, college, in the pros? Trey, tell me what your thoughts on that. Then there, I will let you jump in as well.
Very important. You got to keep guys that's going to keep the train on the track, Dr. Smith. Even though the load may not be as heavy, when you start taking jokers out, you got to have someone in there to keep the train on the track.
Dr. Smith, the bottom line is, if you have five players on the floor that you are your starters, they are there because of starting, because they are the best of the best on your team. So it's really common sense to never remove all your starters off the floor and put a secondary squad in there, unless you're playing a JV team that can't even keep up with your second squad. So, and that's not the case in the NBA. So, yeah, you can't. Trey summed it up. You got to keep the train on.
Awesome. I think we lost. Darryl ended up dropping right quick. You can call back Darryl. And he's so right. You got to make sure you have that nucleus, and you can know who to put on the floor. And you know, I watch Boston. Boston may have eight players, but you're always going to see one of those starters or two of those starters still on the floor. So to make sure they keep it going, keep that train moving fast, keeping that train going. So that's one of the things that's the biggest concern when we're talking about the NBA and we talk about what's going on. And I noticed that with the Lakers. It was the first year that I actually watched the Lakers from November. And I got tired of watching that crap that goes on the floor, what they call a basketball team. No matter how mad they are or how they acting like this, they ain't playing. They didn't play like that. And they got caught with five starters. And your coach should have been in control a little bit, but he wasn't. So the bottom line, he's in at the Kings, Sacramento Kings right now, have a job already playing, and it's where he needs to be at. And then you can get your coach in there, which will be one of the coaches we talk about. All right, Last thing we want to talk about, Trey, and I thought that Coach Touchdown Tony would be with us, and he hadn't made it yet, in regards to the amateur rule. The Alabama High School Athletic Association, like a lot of associations, decided to move toward some changes in the amateur rules. They didn't go in-depth, and it's because of the Davenport case. Should the High School Athletic Associations, a governing body, have and enforce in amateur rules? And for the people not sure, the amateur rule is that for a player that's playing to be considered amateur, he cannot receive or she cannot receive pay for play. So if you get any money for playing, you lose your amateur status. So what happened with that case back in the summer coming out of sun in August, the young lady played with the USA 19 and on the team. She received a check of $850. She cashed the check, but in no building where the season started. Now, the check came in August and September. She cashed the check. And when you found out that it was more than the amateur rules said, she tried to give the check back, but they ruled her ineligible. So, Trey, tell me what you think about the High School Association changing that rule. They made a change in the rule recently that they're going to talk about more in the summer conference that they have every year. Tell me your thoughts on that.
I didn't agree. I still don't agree with the change in the rule. I think the USA team should be held accountable for that if they do things like that. There are things done that people do, but it's not it's not paper trail like as far as them cashing a check. Because I think the USA team should have gave them a credit card or something that they didn't know that they was the one using. You know what I'm saying, Dr. Smith? But it's something that should have been done that could have been better. So for them to change it, I think they're enabling it.
Okay. And truly, I think if you have a rule that works, it was only $250. They're talking about increasing it to $400, but it was something in line that if you only get a percentage of that, you wouldn't have to actually you could cash it. It could be more than $250. It's going to be like $400 and something. But the true picture, like I said, Coach Stallworth was going to share some thoughts on that as well. I think he got tied up with, you know, in church as a revival. But I know he wants to make sure he talk about it. I'm looking at the board, and I don't see he had called in yet. But the bottom line is that amateur rule is to keep individuals from actually being paid to play the sport in high school, middle school, or even in college. You can't be paid because you lose your amateur status. So there's a change, so we'll kind of keep up. We'll get more information this summer at the summer conference here in Montgomery at the Renaissance while they have All-Star Week. All right, Trey, we want to kind of close this thing out. Any other thoughts and ideas you have in regards to that you want to share with some upcoming things that's going on and you can share with our listeners?
Big time AAU play. I was looking to see a clip of two of our Alabama teams. They're playing with the Miami Knight Riders. We have Cam that plays with Pinson Valley and Anthony Burnett that plays with Sidney Lanier. They're two of the star players for the Knight Riders, a team based out of Miami. Pretty good team. They're looking good against the top families in the nation, top kids in the nation. So we have players that in Alabama that are ranked amongst the best, and I'm loving it. What else I got for you? That's about it, Dr. Smith. I like the new enactment of the top 100 team, 100 players in Alabama too. You can look on the Alabama High School Athletic Association website and look at those two teams, the top 100 girls and top 100 boys. I like that they're going to play a game, I think, in the dead period. So that should be in, June. Is that June, Dr. Smith?
That's the period where you can play high school.
Yes. So really looking forward to that. But that's all I got for tonight. Glad to be here for y'all with y'all tonight, Dr. Smith. Y'all have a good one.
Awesome. Thank you, Trey, so much. And that's some good information. I want everybody to keep in mind that we try to bring in as much information as possible. Yes, a lot of times it's just about the state of Alabama, but it is about athletics. It's about high schools, about historical black colleges and universities, and middle school athletics as well. I also want to share with everybody, as Trey was talking about in June, the Alabama Sports Festival will have its basketball version of the Junior Olympics on June the 6th and 7th, and it'll conclude really the whole events of everything on the 8th up in Huntsville, Alabama. They have been hosted at several schools. As of this point, we have several schools already paid their money and get in there. We have Whitesboro Academy has already paid their money to get it in. Also, we have a commitment from Cindy Lanier High School. They are working on trying to do some things. Also, Bob Jones have registered 4 or 5 teams. And as I understand, and I'm going to put them on the spot up there in Huntsville, all of the teams up there are going to play a part in it so we can make sure it works. So that'll be June 6th, 7th. They'll play the basketball version, but all the other sporting events be going on through the 8th, and we'll do it doing like a normal do with the play date. So we're looking for all the high schools to be a part of it. We're going to be calling out and touching bases with the high schools in the state of Alabama, especially in North Alabama, to get you a part of it, make you a part of it, give you a chance to play for the Junior Olympics and enjoy this moment. So, again, you can give me a call at 334-301-8775. Also, my team is Coach Blandon, Chris Blandon, as well as Coach Edwards, Tremaine Edwards, the King. And his number, if he'll have a problem, is 334-669-9969. And then you have Coach Smith, Lauren Smith. She's a part of the team. So we're going to be up in Huntsville for those 4 days up there because we're going to kind of come in on Thursday, and we're going to move forward. I need to make sure I get our hotels taken care of and everything, but I'll do that. Trey, touch bases with me when we get off the phone so we can make sure we get that done, and we'll have an awesome show. We had a great show. We had to get that information out, but check us out on Friday, Balling with the Doc at 6 o'clock Central Standard Time, 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I'm the host of Balling with the Doc. We talk about the hottest sports topics of the week, and you check us out. Then on Tuesday next week, we got the Dr. Lowe Show, the real relationship guru with no limits. That's at 7 o'clock on Tuesday night. So we look forward to having an awesome week. So everybody, check us out. Do what you need to do. As I always tell everybody, we're at the point where we give our hashtag. Hashtag, keep on grinding. Just keep on grinding now. Hashtag, communicate for understanding. And the last hashtag, and what we always say is not a hashtag, is how we feel. We really feel good to have you joining us. So what we always tell you all, we're happy, and we're glad to be happy. We're happy to have an opportunity to just to be here and just share that. We're international, and we're glad we have a chance to be international. And I'm telling you, God is blessing us. And that's why I always tell everybody, I love you, and ain't a thing you can do about it.
The truth
I want you to be
you.
Happy. Check us out
the truth can change
on
you.
Friday at 6 o'clock. Balling with the Doc.
Do to you.
Have a great night.
I just want to be happy. But if I keep on doing the things that keep on bringing me pain, there's no one else I can blame if I'm not happy. Wasted time, but now I can see the biggest enemy, it was me. So I'm not happy. Cry yourself to sleep. Shout and raise your hands. It won't change a thing, child, until you understand.
Preach.
If you're tired of being the same, if you're tired of things not changing, it's time for you to get out the way. Don't get stuck in how you feel. Take Jesus, take the wheel. He knows the road that you need to take.
But it only works if
you wanna be happy.
Look at yourself and say,
don't you wanna be happy? be happy?
Yes, Lord.
Will I ever be happy? Cry yourself to sleep. Shout and raise your hand. It won't change a thing, child, until you understand.
If I'm talking to you, then say,
if you're tired of being the same, if you're tired of things not changing, it's time for you to get out your way.
You've been there too long.
Let him drive. I just wanna be happy.